SDI membership is about being part of a global contemplative movement that contributes to peace, justice, and living in right relationship with all living beings. The SDI Learning Community is a group of compassionate listeners who are committed to serving others on their spiritual journeys. Everyone is welcome to become a member of SDI, which also supports our work to advocate for the healing contemplative modalities of spiritual direction and companionship. Become a new member or renew your membership on SDI's secure online store at sdicompanions.org. Welcome to this episode of SDI Encounters, a podcast on spiritual direction and spiritual companionship. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our work and the work of spiritual direction and spiritual companionship on our website, sdicompanions.org. Those familiar with the Enneagram know what a powerful tool for self-discovery and insight it can be. With that in mind, we are pleased to announce our latest 10-session course offering from SDI called New Perspectives on the Enneagram for Spiritual Directors and Companions. This unique online course offering from SDI offers spiritual directors and companions the opportunity to connect with peers who are on the leading edge of the Enneagram field. This course will give seasoned Enneagram explorers the opportunity to take a deep dive and develop new perspectives about the use of this medium in spiritual direction and companionship while honing new skills and approaches to their practice and calling. We recently hosted a preview of this series, inviting many of our presenters for the course to share their perspectives. What's new for them? What's stirring? How does exploration of the Enneagram take them beyond archetypes and personality types and into deeper reality and identity? This episode includes part two of that presentation and features course presenters Alan Proctor, Erlina Edwards, and Ben Campbell.
Next, I'm going to invite Alan Proctor, another old friend at SDI, to share a little bit. We know you from the Hayden Institute and the dream work you do, and feel free to share about that. But Enneagram was not something that I knew you had extensive background in.
Thanks, Matt. It's a pleasure for me to be here and a pleasure to be involved with SDI. Yeah, I'm for those of you I haven't met, I'm Alan Proctor, and I'm the director of the Hayden Institute. We train spiritual directors and dream workers. Our tagline is we train folks from the Jungian mystical Christian tradition. And so what I'm interested in at this time is I'm interested in all the overlap that there is between the Enneagram tradition and Jungian analytical psychology. I think that Jung would have really loved the Enneagram, for several reasons. One is that they're both psycho-spiritual. Psychology without spirituality tends to be superficial. Spirituality without psychology, spirituality without psychology tends to be superficial. Psychology without spirituality tends to be meaningless. So psycho-spiritual is the path to growth and wholeness. Another assumption that both these systems have is that the unconscious is really in control. The Enneagram really talks about how we are in these automatic patterns of personality, and that blocks true essence from coming forth. Jung talked about the path of every individual is to move toward true self. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are. And what is so helpful as I work as a spiritual director with clients is to see the Enneagram really as a map of the complexes. So when you begin with leading type, and as you follow the dynamics around the circle, there is some predictive quality there about the primary complexes that are going to come up. And as a spiritual director, that's a very handy map to have to know what to anticipate. Jung's language for this is shadow work. I really think that's what we're doing, because we're, in Jung's language, we're developing a conscious relationship with the unconscious. And that's what the Enneagram invites us to do. For Jung, that comes up in dreams when I'm working with clients, and I know something about them, and I know something about their Enneagram type and their instinctual stack. That's very helpful. And then if a dream comes along, that will name exactly what aspects of those energies are coming up right now, but that we might want to deal with in that session. Another really important overlap in these two systems is that the process moving toward wholeness, or the process moving toward individuation, is awareness. It is not, you know, modification of behavior or discipline of thought and feeling. It is sinking more deeply into awareness, and that awareness allows those, in Jung's language, the energy of the complex to dissipate. And I am concerned and excited both about the growing popularity of the Enneagram. I believe that one of the traditions, you know, when the Enneagram got to this country and the Jesuits were working with it, when I started learning about this in the early 80s, there was a tradition that said we don't want to write any of this down, because this tool should not be used except by intimate soul partners. If we write this down, it could be misused. And I'm seeing their point as the Enneagram has become so popular, because there's a danger of it often being used, you know, kind of like a parlor game. I mean, it's a very clever system of understanding personality. But what's so important to me about the Enneagram is it is an instrument for depth work, for holy work. And I think it is just a vital tool for spiritual directors to not use the Enneagram to fix someone. It's not a self-improvement course, but it's a way to get deeper into the unconscious, deeper into the shadow, not to fix, but to explore, you know, that cave, to explore what's in there, with the confidence that in the shadow there is gold. As you go deeper into the darkness, there are lost parts and lost pieces that are there to be integrated and to move us toward wholeness. So it's a wonderful tool. I started in the narrative tradition. I've really been taught a lot by Riso and Hudson, and Beatrice Chestnut is my latest teacher. She's taught me a lot. Love to talk about instinctual stacks. Anyway, that's where I'll stop.
Thanks, Alan. It's exciting and challenging for us to hear about the shadow work that needs to be done, and also the challenge of the Enneagram as a map, because I imagine it's not like where we want to get to is like beyond what the map is even charting, beyond that, the landscape of our own psyches. It's challenging, but good. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Erlina, you're next on my screen, and welcome. Okay. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so I'm really happy the people that you've selected to kind of go before I speak, so that I can kind of build on them. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge my teacher, Sandra Smith. She and I work together, but you can see she is a profound teacher, and I do have the honor of working with her. I am the co-executive director for the Narrative Enneagram. I've been in the Enneagram for more than two decades myself. I'm also trained at MI International Enneagram professional as well. So I've taken this very seriously for a long time. Interestingly enough, my mother tongue, from a religious standpoint of view, was Christianity, where I really went through some pretty traumatic, discriminatory experiences. And so I left. But I've always been connected to the spiritual world, to the spiritual life. And so because of that, I connected with a rabbi who had an international seminary, and that's where I spent most of my early years in training as a minister. And then I did go into corporate life, where I served there for a number of years as well, leaving as a senior vice president of human resources. And I would have never survived the corporate world, especially on the technology side, without the Enneagram, because I navigated very, very difficult personality types. And the other part of it was it gave me the means of being able to do my pastoral work for people who went through tremendous suffering inside of the corporate life because of, you know, it being a very intense world of make the money and manipulation. So it was priceless for me to be able to bring this training in. It also made me a better mother, a better wife, a better human being, just generally speaking. I'm a type 4.5, as I say, on the Enneagram. There's no such thing as that, but I do spend a lot of time in four. But my core fixation is that of a type 4, which means I really go into deep philosophical conversations and bodies of work in order to bring freedom to all souls. I'm particularly interested right now in the BIPOC community and marginalized communities who have not had access to this type of work for ever. And one of the things that the narrative has been deeply involved with for the last many years now is how do we bring this work into marginalized communities? And so we have put together, for example, BIPOC scholarships, where the first foundational courses, we try to provide that for people because we want to certify teachers to bring this work out. My particular topic will be the three centers of intelligence. I think it's very important. It's foundational work. You know, a few of the teachers, and I appreciate Alan speaking to this, that the Enneagram is broad and deep, and it's not a parlor game, and it is particularly useful in spiritual direction and any kind of holy work, any kind of ministerial, pastoral work. When you bring this in, not for the purpose of telling people their type or their structures or their patterns. That's an exploratory journey that you take them on, which then reveals to them their inner world. And then one other thing I do want to call out is when the Enneagram first came out, its focus more was on the psychological and the spiritual, but certainly within the last 5 to 7 years, we've gone much more deeper into the somatic parts of the Enneagram because we recognize that we learn more about initially tuning into the sensations and to the feelings in a very deep way in our body that we learn about ourselves that we didn't even make connections to for millennials. So I want to just call that out as a triad that the body, the heart, and the mind do really work in a certain way. So, for example, if you know if you're a body-based type, you know, having control and then sometimes having difficulty setting boundaries or holding boundaries too hard, you know, can be a problem. And if you're a kind of a head-center type, you know, the moving away from the emotions and not going toward the heart, and all of us can suffer from not being in the heart. But I'm just saying that there are particular characteristics and qualities that reside within these three centers of intelligence that when we become aware of them and drive more balance into the three centers, life becomes so much more rich. So I think I'm going to leave it there because I know that there are other people who are going to be coming. And I just want to thank the Spiritual Direction International for understanding the importance of this work, the timeliness of this work, and the precious sacred time that we can have together to make this work part of what spiritual direction is intended to deliver to all human souls. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Erlina. And anything that gets me out of my head thinking and into heart awareness and body awareness is good for me, and I imagine for a lot of us. So thank you for being a part of the series and for your offering here. And thank you too for your service to BIPOC and marginalized communities and your giving in this place. Let's see, Ben Campbell. I think this is maybe your first STI go around, and correct me if I'm wrong, but welcome and thank you for being a part of this.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Matt. And I am happy to be here. I'd have found my way in at the last minute through a friend. And when I saw the theme for the 10 weeks, I was really excited to be able to speak here. I will say I don't normally get stage fright anymore when I'm speaking, but I have it right now, and it tends to come up when I have something important to say. And I'm really curious what that's going to be. It shows up sometimes in council settings, and my heart's like, time to say something. And I'm like, are you sure? I don't really want to. And it's like, yep. So let's see. My name's Ben. I'm the founder of Wild Enneagram. And I'm also the founder and president of Enneagram Northeast, which is a new chapter of the International Enneagram Association. New Perspectives on the Enneagram for Troubled Times, I think, is the title of this 10-week thing that's going to happen. So I notice troubled times when I went to the beach today, and I actually got stranded at high tide because a road to the beach flooded, which it's never done before. I see the troubled times when I walk through the forests in Bath, Maine, that have 300-year-old hemlock trees, and their leaves, they're supposed to be evergreen trees, and there's hardly any needles left on the trees because of invasive insects that we accidentally, without knowing what we were doing, shipped over here. They don't belong, but they're here. What do we make of that? It's my opinion that if we're going to have a holistic and useful approach to the climate crisis, which of course is interrelated to all of the other crises going on too, refugee crises, wars, food scarcity, racial justice and injustice, it's all interconnected. But if we're going to have a true response to this, we have to remember our fundamental wildness as human beings, which is something that we've been separated from in every domain of life, including psychology, including spirituality, including the Enneagram. And I don't think people used to need to point this out. Like the Enneagram, someone mentioned earlier, I think it was Sandra, that Oscar Ichazo created the Enneagram of personality and the Enneagram of psychology. And that's a great reminder that the Enneagram is beyond both of those things. And what I try to remember is that psychology and spirituality, for 99% of our evolutionary history, was part of nature, because we are part of nature, right? Any psychological process we're doing, it's out on the land, or it's in relation to the rivers where we live. Four directions, circles, you'll see in cultures all over the world. Spirituality, likewise, rites of passage, rites of passage for the individual and for the culture, all happened in relation to the landscapes they were on. God was not somewhere else. God was in the corn that we raised. God was in the morning sun. God was in our own breath and the water that we drank. The waters that, by the way, we were able to drink all over the world until the past few decades. And now we can hardly drink them from anywhere without boiling them or running them through a plant. So I suppose my mission with the Enneagram is to rewild it, and to take this amazing tool, and I'm trained in the Riso Hudson school. I did my training at the Enneagram Institute, and I love the Risa Hudson training. And I love a lot of the other Enneagram trainings too. I've dipped my toe into some others. It's spectacular. And as my colleagues have shared, like, incredible for our awakening. Sometimes I think people see me as a bit of a radical, and maybe I am. I think I might be the youngest person on the panel, if not this entire room, frankly. But I don't think of myself as a radical in terms of Enneagram content. I want you to take what you're learning and go do that with a tree or with the pollinators in your yard. Psychology does not need to be, and never was until very recently, an exclusively human domain, and neither was spirituality. And all of my work is focused on how do we bring this amazing tool that we have and use that as a way to have intimate spiritual connections with the other than human world. Can we invite the other than humans into these council practices with us? Can we invite them into our consideration? Can I wake up, show up at an Enneagram retreat, or can I go to an Enneagram retreat and engage with nature as more than just a pretty place to do my personal inner work? Is nature going to participate alongside me? I remember what that's like. And yeah, that's what my talk's going to be about. And I think my talk is last. So you got a couple months of waiting until I'm able to say more on this. But I think I'll leave it there. My talk's going to be about rewilding the Enneagram. So thanks for having me. Honor to be here.
And it's an honor to have you. And thank you for speaking from the heart and speaking with courage. And, you know, these are strange times that we live in. And I think we need to get a little strange if we're gonna be able to face these times with the same courage that you're sharing right now and with authenticity and integrity. So very much looking forward to your session and grateful for what you've shared.
Our next episode will include the final part 3 of this Enneagram presentation and will feature Chelsea Forbrook, Reverend Nian Vuong, and a bit of Q&A. To register for the full series, which includes 10 sessions over 10 weeks with all of these Enneagram presenters, go to sdicompanions.org. You'll find the registration link there. You do not need to be a member or spiritual director to attend. All are welcome.
If you're enjoying this podcast and you want to help us share and spread the word about the life-giving practice of spiritual companionship, you can help us out by subscribing to this podcast through your favorite app. You could give us a like or even write us a review. Thank you for listening. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org.
SDI is the home of spiritual companionship. Learn more about us and our work on our website, sdicompanions.org.